Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming today evening. And I'll speak on the topic of destiny. Do we make it or does it make us? I'll talk about this presentation in four parts using an acronym, FATE. So we'll have to depend on FATE whether the PowerPoint comes or not. So before we start, what do we mean by the word destiny? There are words equivalent to it in every tradition. We may use the word daiva, niyati, kismat, in various traditions. But the idea is that there are some factors beyond us which shape results for us. So the word destiny is used sometimes to refer to these factors. We can say the word destiny has two distinct meanings. One is that it can refer to some things that happen to us. So some things are beyond our control and some things happen to us. So we work very hard to achieve something, but something doesn't work. And you say, okay, destiny was not favorable. So some things are beyond our control. The other can be, say, if somebody is a very talented, promising person, maybe the popular sport in India is cricket. So, and I'm in America, most people think of cricket either as an insect or as a telephone network. we have Airtel and others, this cricket is a network over there. Cricket as a sport is not known much over there. But still, if you consider cricket, if some player, young player shows a phenomenal amount of talent. And then maybe 5 years, 10 years down the line, that person becomes a glorious cricketer, champion cricketer. Then we may say he has fulfilled his destiny. So the promise that he had earlier, he has fulfilled it now. So destiny can have both these meanings. Things that happen to us or things that we are meant to achieve. And then somebody succeeds in achieving them. Now when we talk about destiny in these two senses, so do we make destiny or does it make us? And the answer, like for many such questions, lies both ways. So let me start with this acronym FATE, F-A-T-E. So FATE is, first F is fact. If you look simply at the facts of life, we'll see that we all want to achieve certain things in life, but those achievements, the results, are not in our control. If we again consider something like sports, say cricket. Now, when I first went to Australia, I observed Australian people in general were quite laid back. So I talked with devotees and other friends over there, and they said that, if you know, in India, India and Australia has a very intense cricket rivalry, probably second only to India and Pakistan. So, and there have been many unpleasant incidents also of sledging and accused cheating. So Australians are known to be quite aggressive and abrasive in their sledging. So they told me that Australians are laid back in everything except cricket. In cricket, they are very aggressive. And I think in the 1990s, early 2000, the Australian cricket team was on top of the world. They said they were in it to win it. And yet, there were many Australian cricketers who had their own quirky superstitions. This Australian batsman, Mark Taylor, whenever he would go out to bat, first he would go to the pavilion restroom. And he would make sure that the lids of all the commodes were down. And then he would go out to bat. And if any time he got out early, then he would come back not to the pavilion, he would go to the restroom. And if any lid would be open, he would go and blast the other place. Why did you keep that open? Because of that I got out. Now, what has the position of the lid of the commode got to do with his batting? But, or for that matter, there was Australian captain Steve Waugh. He would always keep a handkerchief in his pocket. And the handkerchief would be partially inside, partially outside. And he was a very good fielder. So if sometimes he would drop a catch, he would look down. Has this handkerchief fallen off? How did I drop this catch? So now these are very talented, dedicated players who were on top of the world at that time. But still, even they understood that performance matters, but performance is not all that matters. Performance matters. Can you go ahead? Yeah. Go ahead. It's what we've been discussing. Yeah. Performance matters, but performance is not all that matters. There are things beyond our control. And these players, in their own quirky, idiosyncratic way, are trying to appease that unknown. So that unknown, that uncontrollable, will work in their favor, some way or the other. Another example we could use for this is, if somebody is steering a boat or a ship in an ocean, the person at the helm of the boat has to be expert. At the same time, if a monster wave comes up, can just overturn the boat or at least block the boat from going in that direction, no matter how much the person endeavors. I was just, as mentioned in the introduction, I came back from America, Canada. I was there for 3 months. And before that, I was in Australia and New Zealand for a month and a half. So I was told that in America, the number of students going from here has substantially decreased in the last 2-3 years. And students have gone there, they are in tremendous anxiety because the prospects of getting a job there are much lesser. So many students from America are emigrating to Canada, because Canada's immigration policies are relatively more open. So students may work very hard to achieve a particular career. But because of national politics or global economics, things change, then nothing can be done about it. Then you just have to move on with life, accepting that change reality. So our planning to build a particular career is like wanting to steer our boat. But the change in the global economics or the national politics, that is like a monster wave hitting us. And that shapes, that affects what happens to us. We can't deny that. So, if we consider the situation, how we drive is in our hand. How we drive, steer the boat is in our hands. But what kind of waves come, that is not in our hands. So there is, the fact of life is that there are things beyond our control. And those point to the role of destiny. Can you move on? So I was going to talk about an acronym, F-A-T-E, FATE. So first was fact. Second is, A is analysis. So I'll periodically during this class, I'll stop. In case if you have questions, we can discuss one or two questions. And then we can move on. So I'll do this analysis part, then we can have some questions of that. So broadly speaking, the Indian wisdom texts explain that our actions alone don't lead to the results. There is karma, daiva and kala. Karma plus daiva plus kala together will lead to phala. Phala is the desired result. Or in English you could put it as, we do our part, that is our duty, destiny and duration. All three come together to give the desired result. Two simple examples to illustrate this before we go into more complex examples. If a farmer wants a harvest, the farmer will sow the seed and plow the land. That is the karma. After that, the rains have to come on time and in the right quantity. That is the daiva. After that, the right amount of time has to pass till the harvesting season comes. That is the, what is that? kala. And then they will get the phala. They'll get the harvest. Or say, if a couple wants to have a child. Now they may unite, that is the karma. But sometimes although there is union, there is no conception. So, for that, something higher is required. That is daiva. And even if conception occurs, it's not that they can have a child immediately. There is the period, 9 months of gestation. That is kala. And then there will be phala. Then they will have a child. So, these three factors, karma, daiva, kala, all of them come together harmoniously, then we can get the desired result. You move ahead, please. So, not working? We depend on daiva again. So now when we work to get results, actually the results that we get are a combination of multiple factors. So this is, if we consider the karma that we have done in the past to be like a water tank. Now in this water tank, there is an inflow. There is one area from which water is coming inside. And there is another area from which water is going outside. So, now when the water comes inside, that is the karma that we are doing right now. So, the actions that we are doing. The word karma, sometimes we use it in different senses. Sometimes we may say, okay, I am doing my karma well. Or say somebody suffering terribly, oh, they are suffering bad karma. Now, there we use the word karma to refer to the reactions of karma. So, the water going in, okay. The picture has gone in now. Okay. So, the water going into the, you can visualize it, I think. Water going into the tank is like the karma that we are doing right now. And the results that we are getting, the phala, that is what we are experiencing. So, if we want to envision this water tank, imagine that there is a opening from which the water comes inside. But from there are multiple pipelines. So one pipeline is such that water comes in from here and goes out straight to the exit. The second is that the water comes in, goes round, and then comes out. The third is water comes in, goes round and round for a long time, and then it comes out. And not only that, when the water goes in, this much little water may go inside, water may go in with a little force. But what may come out may not be only that water. There may be much more water that may come out. So that means if we consider the total water in the water tank, that is like our destiny. That is daiva. The water that is going in is the karma. And the water that is coming out is the phala. So the phala that we get is a complex combination of karma and daiva. And that there are different pipelines that indicate the kala factor. Sometimes the karma may come out immediately, sometimes after little time, sometimes after much more time. So let me give a few examples to illustrate this. Say, many people when they are driving, often people while driving also try to do multitasking. So sometimes while driving, we may talking with someone on phone or even texting someone. And I was in America, so one of my friends there is a traffic cop. Many times when people drive, they think that we can break the rules and if you are not caught, there is no problem. Once there was a person who was driving a car, and he was driving, speeding way too much, and the cop pulled him over and said, didn't you see the speed limit? The speed limit was 60, he was driving at 90. Didn't you see the speed limit? Yes, I saw the speed limit, I just didn't see you. So sometimes, we may think that if we do a particular action, but if we can get away without the consequence, then everything is alright.
And sometimes it may be alright.
So this friend was telling me that he had to pull over a young boy. Just a few months ago he had got a license. And he was driving, and in America, baseball is quite big. So there's a baseball match going on, and he had kept his mobile on a stand in front of him, and he was driving and watching the baseball match. And something happened, and some unexpected move happened in that baseball match, and his attention got diverted. He said, looking at the baseball match, and he was driving through a school area. And at that moment, suddenly a child ran over. He saw the child running, and he tried to brake. But he was just a few moments late, and the child was knocked over. Child was injured, fortunately survived, but he got into a huge amount of legal trouble. Now somebody else may do the same thing, and they may not get into any trouble. They may just look at their phone and do something. It may not matter at all. So when we say it does not matter, all that it means is that the water going in is minor, and the water coming out is minor. But sometimes the water going in may be minor, a small quantity of water, but that may combine with a large quantity of water from another side. And that may cause a big problem. So imagine three people are walking along a road. And they're chatting, and none of them notices that there is some water that has spilled on the path. And as they're all walking, all of them slip on the water. Now the first person is walking and there's a tree nearby. He just scratches a branch and steadies himself. The second person slips and falls. He doesn't hurt himself much, only hurts his ego. But a third person slips and falls, and where that person's head hits the ground, there's a sharp rock over there. And he gets a brain hemorrhage. Now, what happened over here? Their karma, all three of them were walking inattentively. But the karma alone doesn't determine the phala. Sometimes, by destiny, some small mistake may lead to a terrible consequence. And sometimes, a big mistake may also not lead to much of a consequence. Say, consider, for example, people in America consider that, Indians are so primitive. You people had caste system, you people had untouchability. So, but in today's world, if somebody becomes overweight or obese, they are treated like modern untouchables. So, people get into so many psychotic disorders just because they become overweight. Now normally we may say, and if somebody eats a lot, they become overweight. But it is not always like that. There are genetic factors also involved. Sometimes some people may just eat normal, and still if they have some thyroid issues or some genetic predisposition, then their body may just balloon out. And somebody else, some people treat their tongue like a conveyor belt. So, they take anything and everything, and still they remain slim. Nothing seems to happen to them. So, that means that the karma that we are doing right now, that is the kind of food that we are eating, that alone doesn't determine the phala. There is a correlation, no doubt, but it's not a linear one-to-one correlation. Sometimes we may do a small karma, big phala. Sometimes big karma, no phala. Or very small phala. So that's why once we start understanding destiny, we start making better sense of life. Can you go ahead? Yeah. So now we continue this point of analysis. There can be broadly two schools of thought. There's one is karmavad and the other is daivavad. Daivavad is the idea that Daiva alone determines everything. Nothing is in our control. Now many traditional schools of thought were thought to be adhering to Daivavad. And this is
heaped scorn upon in today's world. Today in the modern times, and now the postmodern times, they're all characterized by karmavad. Karmavad means if you work hard, if you shed enough sweat, if you are smart enough, you can become the next wealthiest person in the world. So now Daivavad, it has its problems. Can you go ahead? Okay. So the Vedic understanding, sometimes people accuse the Indian thought system, they're also fatalistic. That's why they say the British are such a small quantity came to India, and because the Indians were fatalistic, they have accepted British rule. Actually, it is not like that. If you look at the history of India, it has been a history of resistance. That's why Indian culture survived thousands and almost 1,000 years of invasions. But some people think that actually the Vedic culture says nothing is in our control. But in fact, this was the argument which is given in the Mahabharata. But it is given by Dhritarashtra in the Mahabharata. We have to understand that everything in scripture is not the teaching of scripture. Everything in scripture is not the teaching of scripture. Because in scripture, sometimes there may be non-devotional, demonic characters also. And they may speak certain things. And if somebody quotes that, this is said in the Mahabharata. Yes, it is said in the Mahabharata and it is refuted in the Mahabharata. So, this is called cherry picking or quoting out of context to serve one's own purposes. Now what happens is, before the Kurukshetra war, Vidura is trying to persuade Dhritarashtra. Stop your son Duryodhan from his self-destructive stubbornness. If he quotes war with the Pandavas, he will be destroyed. In fact, the whole Kuru dynasty will be destroyed. At that time, Dhritarashtra tries to rationalize. Rationalize. You know what is the spelling of rationalize? R-A-T-I-O-N-A-L-L-I-E-S. Rational lies. So rational lies. People try to rationalize means they try to tell a lie and try to use rationality to prove it is right. So that's what Dhritarashtra did. And he said that, oh, if it is the will of almighty destiny that our dynasty be destroyed, then who am I, a tiny mortal, to come in the way of almighty destiny? At that time Vidur cuts through the illusion of Dhritarashtra and makes the statement. Destiny determines the consequences of our actions, not our actions themselves. So, destiny determines not our karma, it determines the phala. Whether we do the karma or not is in our hands. It is not in destiny's hands. About 20 years ago, when I started first giving class, 25 years ago, I started giving classes. So, one of my mentors gave me 10 guidelines of how to give classes. And the last guideline was, depend on Krishna. But in bracket, depend on Krishna, but only after you have prepared. So, if I depend on Krishna, I don't prepare at all. I say, oh, whatever comes out will be destiny. Now, whatever comes out will not be destiny, it will be my responsibility and my stupidity. So, there is, destiny determines the phala, not the karma. Now, this idea that destiny determines everything, which we call as Daivavad, can you go ahead please? The result of that is, it leads to passivity. People just accept anything. I was in South America last year, and in South America there have been civilizations like the Aztec, Mayan, the Inca, at 2,500 years old. And when the conquistadors from Spain came, when Europe was fighting its wars between the Catholics and the Protestants, the Protestants came eastwards to India. And that's how the British India Company conquered India. And the Catholics went to South America. So there, one of the conquistadors are those who are the colonialists who conquered them. So they had a very small army. But one of the Catholic priests, he became, so they realized that a small army, we can't conquer this big civilization. So he entered into there, he became friends with the tribal, with the tribes living over there. And as he started becoming friends, he gave them some medicines and things like that. Friends, they started talking, and then he came to know that is a big tribe, thousands and thousands and thousands of people in that tribe. And they had a belief that on a no moon night, if a white horse without any rider comes running into their village, then that signifies that in the future a big army will come and which will defeat us. Now, as soon as this priest came to know about this, he sent information to the Spanish conquistadors. And then on that night, just at the outskirts of the village, they brought a white horse. And they just guided the horse, and the horse was coming on the horseback ridden by someone till the outskirts. But then the last few hundred yards, the horse ran in on a no moon night into the village. And when the villagers saw this, the next day, just an army of few hundred colonists came over there. And this huge tribe surrendered. And not only they surrendered, so within 2 years, a civilization that was 2000 years old was eliminated. It no longer existed. So this is, if somebody starts giving too much credence to destiny and thinks that nothing is in our hands, then that can lead to passivity, that can lead to atrocity, that can lead to abuse. And that definitely is unwanted. However, this does not mean that Karmavad alone is good. Karmavad has its own flip side also. When we think that we alone determine the results of our actions, then sometimes when factors beyond us shape the results, then we needlessly start blaming ourselves. We needlessly start blaming ourselves and beating ourselves down. I was in central New Jersey, and there's an area where there are $1 million mansions or houses. And these are all the houses of people who, many of them, they were houses of people who were staying in the Twin, who were working in the Twin Towers. Very wealthy. And when the Twin Towers fell, some of them, they were trapped over there and they died. But many others, their offices, their companies, everything collapsed. And some of them sank into depression, some of them committed suicide. Now, they had built a big career for themselves. And this thing happened, they were not responsible for that. Some antisocial elements came and blew it up. But if they start beating themselves up for that, that leads to depression, that leads to self-destruction. So, sometimes, despite our best efforts, results don't come. And if they don't come, there is no need to blame ourselves. Mental health problems are a huge problem in the Western world and in the westernized world. About 1 million people commit suicide every year. So 1 million figure means it is about one suicide every 40 seconds. That means since we started the discussion, 45 people have committed suicide. This is more than the number of people who are killed in wars, murders, and all kinds of terrorist attacks combined together. More than the number of people who are being killed by others are the people who are killing themselves. Now, of course, suicide is a complex subject. But one common reason for suicide is that when people feel that life is hopeless. And why do they feel life is hopeless? Because some things have gone wrong in their life. Just because some things have gone wrong in our life doesn't mean everything is going to go wrong in our life. There are many things that have gone right in our life also, and many will go right also. When we believe in karmavad, then failure becomes not a practical problem, it becomes an existential problem. Means if I want to pass an exam, and somehow, if I want to crack this exam, I want to get into this college. Now I may study very well, but sometimes in colleges, if that year there are many other talented students, and I get a high percentage, but others get higher percentage than me, then what can I do? So, then either you can get into depression and you beat yourself up, or accept and move on. So, a lot of mental health problems come because we beat ourselves up for things that are not in our control. So, karmavad can also be equally damaging. And the balanced understanding is karma and daiva both move together in helping us to attain the phala. So, any questions till this point? Yes, please. Yeah. You have a mic?
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Thank you.
As you said, if we face failure, then we should accept it and see this might be our destiny. But my question is, should we look back on ourselves, where did I make mistake and I should rectify them and then I may get a better result, or should we accept it for my, this might not be my destiny. Okay. So what should we do now?
Good question. Thank you. So if we face failure, should we just accept it as our destiny and move on? Or should we try to see what we could have done better? Certainly, learning from the past is vital. We as human beings have progressed because we have learned from experience. Of course, a famous historian, Will Durant, said that the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. That means, if you look at history, people keep committing the same mistakes again and again and again. People succumb to lust, people succumb to pride, people succumb to greed. We keep making the same mistakes. But still, we have the potential to learn. So, learning from the past is good. At the same time, unless we have some foundational stability, if we try to look at the past also, instead of learning from the past, we will end up lamenting the past. The Bhagavad Gita explains that there are three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. Sattva is characterized by clarity, rajas by hyperactivity and tamas by passivity. So I put it this way, some people make things happen, some people watch things happen and some people wonder what happened. So in sattva, think, plan and make things happen. It's sattva. Rajas is some people, they try to do one thing, they're doing running, trying to do one thing, and one thing leads to second and third, fourth way. What's happening? They want, some people, they watch things happen. And some people, they're such a so bad, wonder what happened. That's tamas. So broadly speaking, when we are looking back at the past, we can either be in the sattva or we can be in tamas. That means like a calm, collected frame of mind. Or we can also be dejected, depressed. So if we are in tamas, then looking back at the past simply increases the negativity in us. We don't learn much. You know, why did this happen? Why did I do like this? I'm such a big fool. I'll never learn. And we'll just make a mess of our life. But when we are in sattva, then we can look back. Okay, in this situation, this happened. If I had done like this, this could have changed this way. In this situation, they spoke like this. At that time, I could have done like this. So we need a basic sense of security.
And this, how we get that security? By understanding our spirituality. That will be the next point. I'll talk about transcendence. But we have to be calm and composed. And so sometimes, if we are too agitated by something that has happened, at that time, it's best to not think about learning. At that time, just focus on stabilizing ourselves, calming ourselves. And then when we are a little calmer, then look back and learn from the past. Okay? Thank you. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, मुझे एक question पूछना था कि हमारी destiny हम decide करते हैं या हमारा astrologer?
Okay. Do we determine our destiny or does our astrologer determine our destiny? Oh yes. So, you know, a few years ago there were this movie which is a satire on religion called OMG. And I wrote a book about that movie called OMG, Reanswering the Questions. So there they depicted as if the astrologer is like a thug who threatens you and scares you and who forces you to do certain things and extorts money from you. The astrologer, so that was actually a disanalogy. Analogy means when two things are comparable. Disanalogy is when two things are not comparable. And why are they not comparable? Because the astrologer is not threatening us. The astrologer is warning us. In Hindi, there's a difference between dhamki and chetavani. So, if we are driving a vehicle and it has slow down, sharp turn ahead. Now, it is not that the road is threatening us. It is just a fact is there, and if we don't slow down, we'll veer off the road. So, it's simply warning us. So, if we consider, if some astrologer tells us that, okay, you know, if this is going to happen in your future. So, isn't that if the astrologer says something bad is going to happen in your life, you're going to have some health crisis, you're going to have some relationship issues. Is it that the astrologer is going to do something inside our body to give us a health crisis? So, if you consider thugs, they say, if you don't give hafta, if you don't pay to me, I'll break up your house. Break up your shop. And the thugs are actually going to do that. So, the astrologers don't determine our destiny. If the astrologers are good, and it is a big if, so if the astrologers are good, then they can give us some indications of what is going to happen in the future. Astrology, in that sense, is like a weather forecast. If we are going on a road, at that time, if we get a weather forecast, okay, there's going to be heavy rains now. There's going to be storm over here. I was coming from Connecticut to New York to the JFK airport to take a flight to come back to India. And on the way, we suddenly got a news. You know, there's a sudden storm and a flash flood coming. So, at one moment, the road was clear and the atmosphere was clear. And next moment, suddenly, heavy winds. And we were in a car. Our car literally started sweeping off the road. And we all looked and we all saw that everybody had got off the road and they were waiting on the side of the road. So, at that time, that was the weather forecast. And we got the news and we all stopped. So, a weather forecast does not cause the weather. The weather forecast only informs us about the weather. So now, of course, weather forecast can also go wrong many times. And astrological forecast can also go wrong. So astrological forecast, based on the position of the celestial bodies, can point us towards certain things that are going to happen in our life. And that can prepare us better. Sometimes if you're just going for a casual ride, and say, oh, there's going to be a heavy storm, better let me not go in this direction. Sometimes we may decide that, I have to go, it's very important for me. So even storm, I'll go, but I'll go carefully. The same way astrology can tell us certain things, and then we can respond appropriately. Okay? Thank you.
So we'll move ahead and we can have more questions towards the end. So I talked about F-A-T-E. What was F? Fact. The fact is simply that there are things beyond our control. A was? Analysis. That means that there is, okay, what is beyond my control? How do they determine the result? Karma, Daiva and Kala leads to Phala. Now let me move on to third point. T is transcendence. Transcendence means that the Bhagavad Gita tells us that this karma and daiva, all this acts in the arena of matter. But we exist beyond that arena. Karya karana kartrutve hetu prakritiruchyate purusha sukha dukkhanam bhoktutve hetu ruchyate. In 13.21, the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that a cause and effect, action and reaction, they all occur in the domain of matter, prakriti. But it is our consciousness that determines whether we experience pleasure or pain. So transcendence means that we understand that we are souls and our existence transcends our situations and our emotions. The Bhagavad Gita explains that our existence is three level: body, mind and soul. This is like in a computer system, the hardware, the software and the user. So destiny determines what kind of hardware we may get. Say if you get to work in a company, the company policy may determine, okay, which brand computer you get. The company policy may determine which software you get. But it is you who determine how you work on the computer. You are separate from it. So similarly, destiny determines for us, destiny may determine our situations and it may even determine our emotions in terms of the default emotions that come within us. Sometimes something bad happens in our life and naturally we feel angry, we feel resentful. But we can rise above that situation. We can consider, okay, the situation has come in my life, this emotion has come in my life, but I am different from it. I am a soul who is above all this. I'll explain this a little bit more. But the essential point is, if you go back to the example of steering a ship. If somebody is steering a ship and they are in the ocean, but suppose there's a heavy storm and their boat or their ship is being buffeted around, they'll feel insecure, they'll feel threatened. I'll be knocked over. But if above there's a rescue helicopter and the rescue helicopter throws a rope down and they catch hold of the rope or they tie the rope around their waist. Now they're still trying to manage the ship. But they know if this boat goes out of control, then I'll be pulled up. So they don't feel immediately threatened themselves. So similarly, our spirituality, if we understand, that means that I exist above my situations and above my emotions. Next. So now, destiny. Sometimes we ask, destiny, does it affect only our situations? I said, it affects our emotions also. So what does that mean? We think our emotions are inside us. So I talked earlier, karma is what is in our hands. Daiva is not in our hands. Now what does Daiva refer to? Does it refer to externals or does it also refer to internals? Now yes, by destiny, our internals may also be shaped to some extent. There's a British playwright, Oscar Wilde. He said that giving up smoking is the easiest thing in the world. I have done it over a dozen times. That means he gave up smoking, but smoking didn't give him up. So what do we mean by this? This means that sometimes based on the So sometimes based on our past actions, certain emotions may just be our default dispositions. So some people say somebody become an alcohol addict or a smoking addict.
That, what does that mean? That means that thought of drinking or smoking just pops up within them repeatedly, again and again and again. And that doesn't necessarily mean they have to drink. But that is the thought that pops up. An example to illustrate this point. So, say somebody has visited a particular site repeatedly on their device. Say suppose somebody has visited Bollywood.com. Again and again they have visited it. And then they come for a spiritual program like this. And they hear about the Bhagavad Gita. And they think, you know, this Bhagavad Gita seems very interesting. Let me read about it. And they open their browser and they want to type Bhagavad Gita. And they type B. And what happens? Bollywood comes up. Now they didn't want to go to Bollywood. At least not then. But because of the past choices, that's what comes up. Now this doesn't mean that they have to visit Bollywood. They can still type Bhagavad Gita and go to BhagavadGita.com. But in that situation, Bollywood will what is come as autocomplete. So similarly for us, based on the kind of actions that we have done in the past, there are the actions that we have done in the past, they get stored as impressions in our mind. And those impressions come as propositions. Just like if we visit a particular site repeatedly, that gets stored as a preference. And that comes as an autocomplete. So similarly, for us, based on the kind of emotions that we have cultivated or we have given into, so we may get that kind of emotions repeatedly. So sometimes people ask, is this glass half full or half empty? Sometimes when people ask this question, we may feel like looking, is there enough water to throw on the head of the person who is asking this stupid question? So, it's such a banal question. Some people don't see that the glass is half empty. See that the glass is half full. It seems nice, but people who have been habituated to thinking negatively, they will by default think negatively. So some people find solution to every problem. And some people find problem with every solution. Now, it's not that either of them is bad. If people keep simply thinking unrealistically of solutions and don't acknowledge the gravity of the problem, that can also be a big problem. In 2006-2007, when this big recession hit the world, that was one reason was unrealistic optimism. The people had no money and still they were taking big loans to have big houses. I thought somehow we will be able to fill it. We will be able to give the premiums. And then when that went beyond a limit, the whole economy crashed. The domino effect. So, it's not that negative thinking is bad. Some people are by nature cautious. So, they'll always, if you give a solution, they look at the problems. It is, there is a default disposition that all of us have. That is not the problem. It is when we make the default disposition our only disposition, then it becomes a fault. So some of us will naturally be creative and we look for solutions. That's good. But then we have to look at the problems for the solutions also, with the solutions also, so that we are realistic. Some of us will always be cautious. But if you are always cautious and we don't do anything, then that's also not good. So, for some of us, a particular option may come as a default within us. Now, we have to recognize what is the nature of the default option and then use our intelligence to evaluate how I should act. So, some of us may be, as I said, optimistic. Some of us may be a little pessimistic. Some of us may tend to get depressed easily. Some of us may get angry easily. Some of us may be a little more sentimental. Some of us may be a little more rational. All these are dispositions. So, they affect the scope of our free will. Scope of our free will means that this is the way we will think. But that doesn't mean that is the only way we will think. That is what will come as the default. But then, we can, within that default, we can consciously choose. Krishna gives the example in the Bhagavad Gita for this. Yatha akashasthito nityam vayu sarvatra go mahan tatha sarvani bhutani matsthani tyopadharaya. In 9.6, he says that just as within the sky, the wind moves. If you envision the sky to be like upside down ball, bowl, then within that, the wind moves. So like that, our past determines, our destiny determines the scope. This is the area within which you can. But within that, all of us can move. So this is understanding. When we understand that we are transcendental, we understand that actually destiny may restrict what all things I can do. Certain ideas may be just come up as default for me. But within that, I can choose. And this understanding is empowering. Can you go ahead? So, even if we can't progress materially, we can still progress spiritually. Sometimes, especially in today's world, the idea of spiritual progress, especially in terms of some other world, that if you look at before the modern times, around 17th, 18th century, before that, whether it is India or whether it is the Middle East or whether it is America or Australia, everywhere people understood that this world is a transition place. Jesus said that the world is like a bridge. Cross over it, don't build your home on it. So the idea is that there is another world and that is where we are meant to be happy eternally. But as science progressed, and especially as technology progressed, the idea came up, why do we need to believe in any religious paradise? Through technology, we will create technological paradise in this world itself. And therefore, the idea of another world was rejected. The defining difference between the pre-modern times and the modern times is that in the modern times, the idea of spiritual progress was rejected. The idea of a spiritual world was rejected. And thus, all progress was thought to be material progress. And sometimes, we may be in a situation where material progress may just be impossible. If a river is moving in a particular direction and it gets blocked and just can't move forwards. Some of you may, and I came in, some of you may notice that I need to use crutches for walking. So, when I was about one, my father is sitting behind me, so probably he can vindicate the story. He is grateful. He's here. So, when I was about one, my parents took me to a doctor to give a polio vaccine. And somehow the doctor had messed up the vaccine. So, he had not kept it very carefully. And the vaccine, instead of preventing the polio, the vaccine ended up giving me the polio. So, since then, I have not been able to walk normally. Now, when I travel across the world and I speak at gatherings where people are having some physical issues. In America, the word, we don't use physical disabilities in America. They use special needs. Some people have special needs. So, after I talk with them, I see that many of them are still fighting battles that have been lost long ago. Somebody has lost a hand, somebody has lost a leg, somebody has lost an eye, somebody has lost an ear. Well, it's over, it's done. You can't do anything about it. But, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? They keep just resenting it again and again and again. And, it just does nothing. Resentment of reality often hurts more than reality. Now, if I look back at my life, I don't remember feeling resentful like that. For anyone who sees me, the crutches is the first thing they notice. But for me, the crutches is just a functional need. They are like glasses for me. I can't see without glasses. I can't walk without crutches. But what's the big deal? Just use it and move on. So, if I look back at this, it is, I could say that my parents, their upbringing, they just accepted me and they helped me to accept myself. My parents would tell me that whatever you don't have in physical ability, God has given you in intellectual ability. And at that time I just didn't understand, what is this idea of who is God, who has so much power on my life that he decides what to take and what to give. But still, that resentment never came. And as over the years I understood the Bhagavad Gita and I started appreciating the Bhagavad Gita's philosophy, I started understanding this body is a functional tool. You know, if something is lacking in the body, that is a problem, but that doesn't have to define us. So sometimes some channels of material progress may just be blocked by destiny. If you just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, it just hurts us. But if we understand this is blocked, but there are other channels that are still open. This channel is blocked. When a river has to move towards the ocean, the river's purpose is fixed. The river's path is not fixed. If this path gets blocked, the river will find some other path to move on. So our spirituality helps us to understand that we are bigger than our situations. So if certain situations block us, we don't keep insisting, this way, this way, this has to happen this way only. Why not this way? If it is not happening, just give up. No, find some other way and move on. So that's how we can grow in our spiritual life. I was in Canada, I have written a book on reincarnation. So one boy asked a question to me after a class. He said that, I want to marry a particular girl, but somehow our parents are not agreeing. So I can't marry her. But what karma can I do in this life so that I can marry her in my next life? So, there is actually, Bollywood has taken the concept of reincarnation and has romanticized it. So many people, when they talk about, I wrote this book on reincarnation, and the most common question people ask is about soulmates. Do all of us have a soulmate? So I usually answer, let's focus on the soul first, then the mate. So I explained, in answer to this question, that actually all of us have horizontal relationships in the world with others, and we have vertical relationships. A vertical relationship is with God, with Krishna. And depending on circumstances, depending on destiny, sometimes some horizontal relationships work out and sometimes some horizontal relationships just don't work. So if a particular horizontal relationship doesn't work, that is not the end of the world. The Bhagavad Gita explains that everything attractive comes from Krishna. So whatever we find attractive in anyone, they are representing a spark of Krishna's attractiveness. They have attractiveness, we don't deny that, but that is a spark of Krishna's attractiveness. So whatever we might get through the most fulfilling horizontal relationship, we can get that and more by developing our vertical relationship with Krishna. The soul is eternally a part of the whole of Krishna. And to the extent we focus on the vertical relationship, to that extent we can get inner strength, we can get inner stability. If we go on the horizontal relationship, sometimes it may just not work. And if you obsess over it, people become depressed, sometimes people become suicidal, and unnecessarily make things worse. So explain that. You know, we don't have so much control over which soul is going to go where in the next life. But what we can control is where our soul goes. So we can develop the relationship that will last forever. And that opportunity is there. So sometimes when one channel gets blocked, two channels get blocked, still the spiritual channel is always open for us. Go ahead. The last part is, E is expertise. So how does this knowledge of destiny apply in our life? Expertise means we have to understand that there are certain things which we can change, certain things which we can't change in our life. And, say, life can be said to be like a tennis match. In a tennis match, sometimes the player is serving, and sometimes the player is returning. When the player is serving, they have a lot of control. They can decide whether to serve on the forehand, on the backhand, at what height, into the body, where. They can choose all that. When they are returning At that time, they have very little choice. A player may be very good on the forehand, but if the ball comes on the backhand, the player cannot say, I'll play on the forehand. Wherever the ball has come, the player just has to get the ball back into the play. So similarly in our life, by destiny, sometimes we are serving, sometimes we are returning. So sometimes we have much more control in our situations. We have initiative. It is for us to take initiative and move forwards. And sometimes we are very constricted by our situations. We just have to keep moving, get the ball back into the play. Say for example, now in this talk, while I am speaking, I am serving. When I am answering questions, I will be returning. when I'm answering questions, I don't know what question is going to come. So whatever question comes, I will answer it the best way that I can. A lot of problem comes in our life when we don't understand whether we are serving or whether we are returning. We start expecting and demanding the flexibility of serving while we are returning. And we just get frustrated. Sometimes our situations do limit us. Sometimes we might have a job where the boss is very disagreeable. Sometimes we might be sick and we just are very limited in our movements. There is a time when we are returning. I spoke this point in a class to an American audience in Chicago. That time the US Open was going on. US Open in tennis. So, one girl in the audience, she raised her hand and she said that, she was a tennis fan, she said that when you told me, this struck me that none of the top players in tennis have gone on top simply by their serving ability. There are some servers who are big, they just shower down aces. But if you look at the top 3 or top 4 players in tennis, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, none of them are just big servers. They have well-rounded game. All of them are good returners also. So sometimes we think that I need to have control over my situation, then I can create a better future for myself. But no. Even when our situation is controlled, even when our situation is limited, still within that limited situation also, we can create a better future for ourselves. Most of us are expert at one thing. What is that? We are all expert at blaming our situations. We are all expert at, this person is like this in my life. This thing is terrible in my life. If only I had this ability, I could have done so much more. If only I could speak better. If only I could do this better. If only I could do that better. If God had wanted us to be someone else, He would have made someone else. He has made you, and He has made me. So expertise means, yes, sometimes we may be returning, our situations may be limited, but we can return gracefully. We can return expertly. And through that also, we can create a brighter future for ourselves. Next. Go ahead. So a couple of examples to conclude this point, that even within constricted situations, we can create a better future for ourselves. You know, in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, it is described how Kamsa, when he heard that Devaki's 8th son is going to kill him, and immediately he caught the hair of Devaki and wanted to lop off her head. At that time, Kamsa was a demon, it was Kamsa's territory. Vasudev is just newly married, Devaki was his wife, he had a duty to protect her. But he didn't have a big army with him, it was Kamsa's territory. He couldn't fight, situation was limited. And he uses various arguments to reason with Kamsa. Now one argument he uses is, oh Kamsa, life and death are destined. What will you achieve by doing bad karma? There is bad karma, he said, that just attacking and killing a woman, that's bad karma. For a kshatriya, kshatriya is meant to protect those who are defenseless. One of them is women. To attack a woman is bad karma. To attack a woman who is your own sister, that is bad karma square. to attack a woman who is your own sister on the day of her wedding. That is bad karma cube. So he said, if it is destined, what are you going to achieve by trying to kill her? If you are going destined to die, you will die. Now Vasudev could have turned this argument around and he could have said, if Devaki is destined to die, what am I doing trying to reason with Kamsa? He's going to die anyway. He didn't do like that. Why? Because for him, destiny was not important. Duty was important. As a husband, it was his duty to protect his wife. And if despite his effort, nothing worked out, then that would be destiny. But within his constricted situation, what did he do? He expertly reasoned with him and he bought time. So, okay, don't kill Devaki. When the sons are born, I will hand those sons over to you. So he was returning. He didn't have much freedom over there, but he returned expertly in that situation. So just because as the predestination is there, certain things are determined, that doesn't mean we have to become passive and give up everything. Can you move ahead? So I've talked about this concept of destiny elaborately on my new book on the Ramayana, Wisdom from Ramayana. So there I explain this. When Ram was exiled to the forest, at that time Lakshman was furious. And Lakshman, he said, Ram, you should rebel against the king. He didn't even use the word Dashrath. He said, rebel against the king. And we will gain the kingdom. He says, Dashrath is our father. How can I rebel against him? He says, no. He has forgotten his duty as a king because of infatuation with his youngest queen. He has done a great wrong to you. So Ram said that it is not infatuation, it is obligation. I was there with Dashrath and I saw how much distress he was in when he told me that when this order, he didn't tell also, Dashrath didn't tell, it was Kaikeyi only who told. Should go to the forest. And then Lakshman's anger went to Kaikeyi. Now this dialogue between Lakshman and Ram could be like a dialogue between Lakshman is like a karmavadi. He says, take things in your hands. At this stage, he says, there's Kaikeyi, she's so cruel. How could she do this, something like this to you? So then Ram says, yes, oh Lakshman, don't you remember how Kaikeyi loved me as much as Kaushalya? Her love for me was as sweetly and strongly flowing as the river Ganga. And Lakshman says, that's what I can't understand. How did the Ganga dry up in one night? Then Ram says, that's why. When I saw the change in her mood, I understood that this cannot happen ordinarily. This must be the will of destiny. Lakshman is still angry and he says, only cowards accept injustice as destiny. He says, heroes fight against injustice and get their rights. And Ram says, oh Lakshman, what is right for me here? He said, I was ready to ascend the throne as a duty to my father. And now, I am going to the forest as a duty to my father. So it is my duty that I am doing either way. That is the right thing for me. And gradually Lakshman calmed down. So here, when Ram was being exiled, Ram accepted the exile as destiny. But when Sita was abducted, Ram didn't think, oh, it is the will of destiny, she is abducted. At that time, they didn't have emails or Google or anything. They didn't even know where Sita was. He had to gather an army, walk thousands of miles, fight against formidable opponents, and through it all he got Sita back. So why? Because he was focused on his duty. The duty is, as a king, I am meant to protect my queen. And he fought and got her back. So, broadly speaking, the purpose of understanding destiny is to focus on duty. What is in my control? Let me do it the best that I can. You go ahead. So we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We know that Krishna is always in control. And Krishna, whatever terrible things may happen in our life, no matter how cruel destiny may seem to be, we are working hard and nothing seems to be working out right. But if we look not at the situation, but we can look at the Lord, He has a plan. And He will create a brighter future for ourselves if we just stay devoted to Him. Can you go ahead? So, we can't be grateful for all situations, but we can be grateful in all situations. On 24th November, that was the Thanksgiving weekend when I was in America, so I gave a series of classes on Thanksgiving. Even some companies, the Northern Bank, they also celebrated Thanksgiving, so I spoke to their employees also over there. So now, I spoke on this theme of Thanksgiving and gratitude. So we can't be grateful. There are bad things that happen, and it's very difficult to feel grateful for those bad things. But we can be grateful in all situations. How? By looking beyond the situation to the bigger picture. I'll conclude with this point. Next slide. So, I talked about the same of ACE. So, ACE expertise is in acing our life with gratitude. ACE is A-C-E. When something bad has happened, look for the good around the bad. Look for the good. Okay, I didn't clear this exam. I lost this job. This relationship didn't work out. This happened. That happened. Yes. But look for the good around the bad. There are some countries in Africa where the lifespan on an average is 30, 32 years. Now, most of us may be older than that. So we are alive. That itself is a blessing. So the very fact that we are alive means many things have gone right in our life. So look for the good around the bad. We make a habit of counting our blessings. We will see that destiny has worked favorably for us also in the past. Whenever we have attained some success in our life, it's not just our own effort. Yes, our effort is important, but there are many other factors which worked out right. That's how we got the result. So you can look at all the times when things have worked out right. Count our blessings. Then that will help us avoid the negativity. Look for the good around the bad. Then look for the good that helps us to counter the bad. Counter the bad means suppose we've got a disease. Then we can say, okay, I've got the disease, but overall my body's health is good. The disease is curable. I've got a good doctor. I have a supportive family. I have a community that's helping to assist, willing to assist me. So look at the good that can help us specifically to counter the bad. The bad is there, but destiny has also created all these positive resources for us by which we can look at, we can use these resources for countering the bad. And then lastly, look for the good that may emerge from the bad. Life is a multi-act play. And sometimes by destiny, the present stage, the present act in the play might be very negative. But in the future, many positives may come about. So we need to just persevere. You need to persevere. Look for the good that may emerge from the bad. When first time I went to America, I mean 2015, I went to university and I gave a talk on regulating our mental diet. I talked about how we need to be careful what inputs we give to our mind. So after that, when an American boy came and talked with me, and he said, just before this class, I was contemplating suicide. I had been in a relationship with a girl and she had broken up and I was depressed. As I was walking along gloomily in the campus, that time suddenly I saw this poster of the program. And something within me said, just go for this program. And when he came for the program, and he said, now I understand, it is not I who want to commit suicide. It is my mind which is prompting, commit suicide, commit suicide, commit suicide. I told him, this is literally a life-saving insight for you. I encouraged him to read the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada has given us. I also write on the Bhagavad Gita every day at my website, GitaDaily.com. Daily 300-word meditation. It's also available in audio video. I encouraged him to read that. And every year, once or twice, when I go to America and I go to that university, I talk with him. So, recently when I had gone again to that uni, he met me. And he told me, again he had gone through the same situation. He had been in a steady relationship, and suddenly that girl unilaterally broke up with him. She says, I don't want to be with you, I'm blocking you, don't try to contact me. He is so shocked by that. He went straight to his room. And he went straight to his room and he locked the door. He pulled down the drapes in the windows, closed the windows, turned off the lights. And over these years, he had been practicing Bhakti Yoga at the local Bhakti Yoga club. And he liked music. He liked to play a violin and sing. He used to participate in local kirtans over there. So as he closed everything, suddenly something within him prompted him. You know, he just went nearby, picked up his violin and started singing Hare Krishna. He told me, he said, I sang Hare Krishna for 6 hours continuously, all alone, pouring out my heart. And he said, at that time, I felt as if I was bathed in some sublime light. I felt as if I was embraced by a very comforting presence. I experienced God. What could have been a very depressing time in his life became one of the most enriching experiences of his life. And that transformation happened because he turned towards Krishna. Because he took shelter of Krishna. So, by destiny, sometimes some relationships may not work out. Sometimes some bad things may happen. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then he will guide us to a bright future, even if the present is bad. The last slide. Whatever karma may get us to, Krishna will get us through. What? So I'll quickly summarize and then we can have a couple of questions. I spoke on this theme of overcome. Does destiny make us or do we make destiny? I spoke on four main points. F was facts. There are things beyond our control. Performance matters, but performance is not all that matters. And accepting this is simply aligning ourselves with reality. A was analysis. So karma plus daiva plus kala leads to phala. To think only karma determines the result is karmavad. To think only daiva determines the result is daivavad. Both are extremes. Daivavad leads to passivity. Karmavad leads to depression. Because we beat ourselves up for things that are not in our control. Then, what was T was? Transcendence. This daiva, destiny can affect our body or our mind. But we are souls. And by realizing our spirituality, we can get strength even amidst difficult situations. And E was? Expertise. That means understand when we are serving or when we are returning. Even if our situations limit us, we can expertly work within those limited situations. And if we lift our vision up to Krishna, then he holds the future and he can help us to create a better future for ourselves. When we feel destiny is unfair and bad things are happening in our life, we can ace our life with gratitude. We can't be grateful in all situations. We can't be grateful for all situations, but we can be grateful in all situations. How? By looking for the good around the bad, looking for the good that helps us to counter the bad, and looking for the good that may emerge from the bad. And whatever karma may get us to, Krishna will get us through. Thank you. Is there a question there? Yeah. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Thank you for the enlightening talk. My question is related to one of the famous personality from the world history. That is Sir Abraham Lincoln. His life, if you see, is born into poverty, lost his girlfriend at a very early age, failed in his two businesses, failed 7 times in the US presidential election. and then went on after his, when his friends told him that you should quit on this venture and look into something else, but he still went on and became the US president in his 8th attempt. He never gave up. So when destiny, does it see that if someone is so much determined, goal oriented and sees one's resilience, even destiny, does she changes her plan?
Okay, good question. So if we consider the example of Abraham Lincoln, he had many, many reversals, but he persisted. Thank you. So he had many, many reversals till he personally persevered and eventually succeeded. So does the destiny change if we persevere?
Yes and no, because the destiny is not necessarily like a fixed entity. As I said, our present actions and our past actions, our present karma and our past karma, both combine together to give us the follow. So sometimes the past karma is unfavorable, then if we do a lot of positive present karma, then that present karma may overwhelm the past karma. And then something good may emerge in that particular area. But we have to understand that it's these stories of human endurance and eventually success, I mean eventual success, they are very inspiring stories. And they can also inspire us to persevere. At the same time, perseverance has to be complemented with intelligence. That means that sometimes we may have some innate abilities, but situations may themselves not be favorable, and that's why those abilities are not leading to a positive result for us. Then we may decide, I can persevere in this field. But sometimes some people may just not have certain abilities. And then at that time you have to accept reality. So it requires intelligence to understand which battles to keep fighting and which battles to let go. Say for example, if we consider the greatest cricketer in Indian history or world history, Sachin Tendulkar. At one time in his life, he actually wanted to become a fast bowler, medium pacer. And he was training that, or at least an all-rounder. And then during a bowling coaching session that he had, bowling camp he had, an Australian bowler told him, you've concentrated on your batting. And he accepted. And he went on to become a legendary batsman. So he could have persevered. No, I will bowl. Well, maybe he could have become a good bowler. We don't know. But his strength, his talent was in batting. So we have to see, when things are not working out, what is the reason for it? Sometimes we may just not have certain abilities. And it is not wrong to admit that. So somebody might just be, some people may just be tone deaf. They just don't understand any music at all. And if that person who is tone deaf thinks that I am going to become a professional musician, I am going to become the next Beethoven or next Mozart or whatever, well, that is an unrealistic expectation. So we can look, if we are very strongly driven, inspired to do something, and we also have the ability to do that, but situations are not favorable, then we may decide to persevere. In principle, we never lose hope. It's like the river always wants to go towards the ocean. But whether the river should keep persevering in that particular path only and erode or grind down the blockage and then go through that path, or take some other path, that is something which has to be intelligently decided. So we should persevere, but it's not necessary that we have to keep repeating the same thing again and again, hoping that that particular avenue may work out. Sometimes one door in life may be closed, and we keep pushing, and that door opens eventually. Sometimes one door is unbreakably closed, and then it's best that we look for some other door and move on through that door. Okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Someone who has not asked till now? Yeah.
Just come to you. Thank you. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. First of all, I wish to express my gratitude for such an inspiring talk. Prabhuji, as you mentioned in your class about karma, phala and kala, and you also mentioned about our abilities to blame, you know, we are all good at blaming others. So most of the times when things don't work according to our plans, so we have this ability at those times of distancing ourselves from good things, and especially distancing, first of all, blaming God, and then distancing ourselves from, you know, godly people, or maybe not having a good association, and we are too vulnerable at that point of time for bad things. So if you could please put light on this point, that at such times how we remain in good, you know, in touch with good people, or maybe we try to increase more faith in God, especially at that point of time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. At that times when bad things happen, we may lose our faith in God and try to stay away from, distance ourselves from God or good things. So how can we maintain our faith in God? Yeah. We have to understand that God is never the cause of our suffering. God is the cure for our suffering. When bad things happen, it is not, bad things don't happen because of God. Bad things happen in spite of God. What do you mean in spite of God? It is not that God wants bad things to happen. It is either our own karma or some other people's bad karma which they are doing. So it is not that when Sita was abducted, Ram wanted Sita to be abducted. It is not when Draupadi was dishonored, Krishna wanted Draupadi to be dishonored. Bad things happen. And Krishna is the supreme controller, but he is not the sole controller. In this world, everybody has been given free will. And sometimes some people may misuse their free will. So when bad things happen to us, we have to see that why this particular thing has happened, it's difficult to know. If you can know, you can inquire and find out, good. But if you can't find out, then just change the question from why to how. Okay, why has this happened? That question can sometimes just be the express way to frustration. Change the question to how. How can I move ahead in this situation? How can I gain strength to face the situation? Once we shift the question to how, we'll find that Krishna is an enormously empowering resource. If we pray to Krishna, if we chant Krishna's names, if we devote ourselves to Krishna, we will get the strength to face the situation. And through that, we'll be able to move forwards. So when bad things happen, if we can associate with those who help us to see the hand of Krishna in that situation, then we can move forward in our life. If instead we see not the hand of Krishna, we keep seeing that, oh, why is this bad thing happening? About six, seven years ago, one morning in Juhu temple, I was walking and I was doing japa. So somebody had spilled water over there. And I didn't notice it and I slipped and fell. Because I already had polio in my leg and I had osteoporosis. So at that time, I just fell badly and my femur, my thigh bone just almost came out of the foot. It was a minor fall, but it was a major break. And I was in great pain at that time. So I have a childhood friend who is an atheist. And I wrote an article about this afterwards. So he afterwards, when I was in the hospital, he wrote to me and he said that, you were in a temple of God, chanting the names of God, and still God didn't protect you. So what is the use of worshipping such a God? So I told him, I wrote a whole experience. I said that when I fell and I had that, I was in such great pain. And somehow I feel a connection with the Bhagavad Gita. So I try to recite the Bhagavad Gita's verses regularly. So I just started reciting the Gita's verses at that time. And when I started reciting the Gita's verses, I actually felt as if I was rising above my body. The pain just subsided. As soon as I stopped reciting the Gita's verses, the pain started coming. So it took me 4 or 5 hours from there. Initially we thought it was a small fall. So I just went to the room and stayed over there, but the pain didn't go. Then we went and did an X-ray, and the X-ray did a shock. He said, you have to do an operation immediately. Then we went to a hospital. So it took 4 or 5 hours. That time I was constantly chanting the Gita's verse. And I'm not chanting out of devotion. I was chanting because of necessity.
But that time, I got this experience that although physically there was pain, I was lifted above that pain by absorption in Krishna. So why that happened, I don't know. But Krishna is the cure for our suffering. I experienced that even in great bodily pain, if I can absorb myself in Krishna, I can rise above the situation. So if instead of demanding the answer, why did this happen? If we just change the question from why to how, then we'll find that Krishna can be a very powerful resource for us to face the situation. And thus our faith in Krishna can actually become stronger even through difficulties. I write some poems sometimes. So I wrote once a Hindi poem. Aaye sankat to hua sakshatkar. Aaye sankat to hua sakshatkar. Bina bhakti ke kaisa karta inhe paar. Bina bhakti ka kaisa karta inhe paar. Okay. Thank you. Any of you have questions more? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, not many. So we will have, since the darshan is open, we will have kirtan now till around 9:05, and then we will have maybe 5-10 minutes more questions. And after that, I'll be available downstairs. There's a bookstore, book table, and we can have more questions there also. Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. This is sitting kirtan, no dancing kirtan. Kripa karke sab baith jaiye. Ek minute, please. Kindly everyone sit down please for few moments. This is called as Shayan Kirtan. So we'll sing kirtan while sitting. Then we'll have announcements for the questions. And then we'll see ahead. So baith jaiye. इसको प्रसाद चाहिए बैठ जाइए
हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare. श्री राधा गोपीनाथ भगवान की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।
हरे कृष्णा। विल कंटिन्यू आवर क्वेश्चन आंसर सून। जस्ट हैव अ ब्रीफ अनाउंसमेंट बिफोर वी बिगिन आवर क्वेश्चन आंसर अगेन। वी हैव वेरी वंडरफुल गेस्ट विथ अस टुडे फॉर द प्रेरणा फेस्टिवल। वी हैव मिस्टर यूएम तिवारी, परमेश्वर दास जी, वंदना, विनोद, Saurabh Pause and Rajeshri Pause. And we also have Chetanchan, my father is still there? Okay. And Chetanchan Poo's father. So let us thank all of them for coming here by a traditional style, by three times chanting Hari Bol. And also want to thank all of you coming today. Is there anyone who's come for the very first time today? Can kindly stand up. Jo pehli baar aaja hai, khade ho jaiye. Those who have come for the very first time today, thank you. I hope that you must have got some special coupons which will bring you to downstairs. Just below this temple hall, there is another hall. Go there, take prasadam, get some free gift coupons also. And thank you for coming. Let us thank them also, welcome them also by loudly chanting. Hare Bol. Yes, and there is some special news here. We are happy to inform you there's a unique talk show at St. Andrew's Auditorium, Mumbai on 5th of December. This is connected by a very famous sports scientist, Shamal Vallabhji, who's a sports scientist, former monk, performance coach and author. And he will be connecting a talk show with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And very, very important, developing compassion, what is essential for fulfilling life. The event will start 7:30 p.m., 5th December, St. Andrew's Auditorium. The entry is open only by registration, and you need a link for registering. So 300 more seats are available, total 800 is the capacity, 500 filled up. So this 300 seats are available for you, and if you want, today downstairs there is going to be a stall. A devotee is going to sit there and you'll find a poster also there. Kindly take the link and register and you can join this program 7:30 p.m. 5th December, Shamal Vallabhji with Radhanath Swami Maharaj. We also want to make another announcement. As you know about the GCL program, Gita Championship League, this became famous few years back when Mariam got the GCL prize and she went on to meet
Prime Minister Modi, the President, and so many leaders. So this was actually happening through ISKCON Chowpatty. ISKCON Chowpatty connected a Gita Championship League, Gita contest in many schools, especially in one in Mira Road, where Mariam got a prize. So since last 8 years, it's happening, and this is around the time when the main thing happens of going and meeting the principals and getting permissions, and actually after that, conducting sessions and giving out Gitas and having the test conducted. So far, 25,000 students all over Mumbai have already gone through the test in the schools, and more is going to happen, but we require some help from all of you. You are young, dynamic devotees here, and future of India. I hope so you will be enjoying this wonderful service. You can help in your own areas where there are schools and colleges, especially schools. You can, you'll get a brief of how to help that thing, where downstairs there's a table on GCL and there are devotees who are waiting. And if you want any necessary information, actually you can go and check with them. And please go ahead and visit schools. You don't know, next Mariam may come from your own area, right? And you may be the one who got the chance for this. So interested devotee can volunteer for this service and contact the GCL stall downstairs. And last but not the least, anything else? The next Prerna Festival kabhi hai? Next Prerna Festival is on January 19th, and more details will come on that. So since we are getting late and we are going to have a lot of question answers here, so they won't be having a today dancing kirtan. So I'm sorry for that. So you can dance your way out hard to the prasadam counter. So we'll have nice questions continuing here. And if still more questions are there, then Prabhuji is available on his own bookstall downstairs. You can see a lot of books there. Please go through them and I'll be happy to have it. Thank you so much. And more questions coming up. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So just one announcement, there is this book Wisdom from the Ramayana, which is just newly launched, and it has about 20 incidents from the Ramayana, narrated and analyzed. So when good people do bad things, like Kaikeyi did, how do we respond? When two friends have a misunderstanding, and they become almost enemies, like happened with Vali and Sugriv, then how can there be reconciliation? When bad things happen in our life, when to hold on and persevere, when to accept destiny and change track course. These kind of common human questions that we have, lessons are drawn from the Ramayana based on this book. So it's available downstairs. If any of you would like to have it, please feel free to have a look at it. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, please. Thank you. Yeah, where are the mic? Those of you who would like to go for prasadam, you can carry on. Those who would like to stay, you can stay. However, thank you. Yeah. Yes, please. You can speak, I'll repeat. Come a little closer.
From school, we've been learning a story about two frogs. Both the frogs land up in a buttermilk pot. One of the frog is like, I don't want to try because this is my destiny. One frog is like, I don't accept this. He keeps running all over the pot, and a thick layer is formed. He then jumps onto that layer and gets out of the pot. Now in this scenario, if you see, the frog who is trying hard to get out does not even know that he can get out. He's just trying. So there are certain times that miracle, that kind of miracle happens, and you know, you have to decide between what to choose on what. But in this case, it was life and death situation, so he had to keep going. But a lot of times, it's not that kind of scenario that's a life and death situation. What kind of torch would you give us that, what, how to decide? Like, the way I do is, I flip a coin, and I choose what I feel like, and I go ahead with that. So okay. What kind of torches would you like to give us?
Yeah. But sometimes, say, we have stories like, if a frog has fallen in a well, some might just accept it, or in a pot has fallen, accept it. Somebody just keeps moving round and round, and that creates some pressure, some frost, and this frog is able to come out. So when do we persevere
and when do we accept? I think I answered the question earlier, but I'll talk two more points over here. How do we decide? Their first thing is, how strongly do we want it ourselves? See, we can say our desire themselves, some desires are created within us by externals. That means, okay, our parents want it, our friends want it, this is a good thing to do, you do it. But we are not really very driven for it. Some things, we ourselves are very strongly driven for it. We like it. But some things, maybe just the defining essence of who we are. So, depending on how strongly we want something, and it's not just because others are telling us, how strongly we do we want it ourselves, we may decide that I want to persevere in this particular course. And if we decide that, then gradually a path will emerge. So, are certain things, I talked about things which are in our control and things which are beyond our control. So now, there are certain things which are clearly in our control. There are certain things which are clearly beyond our control. There will always be grey lines about whether this particular thing is in my control or this particular thing is not in my control. Say in America, one of the most inspiring stories of Helen Keller. She was born severely handicapped. She couldn't see, she couldn't hear. So, she had a lot of physical abilities. But within that, she grew up to become a very illustrious person. So now she couldn't change that. Inabilities that she had, she couldn't change that. So, but within that, she created a better future for herself. So similarly for us, rather than obsessing over whether I should endeavor or not, we make the clear boundaries. Okay, this is definitely in my control. And this is not in my control. Maybe in future it will come in my control. But we focus on that which is in our control. And the grey areas, they will resolve themselves in their own way. So, two points. First is how strongly we desire. And we focus on the areas where things are clear. Not on the areas where things are grey. Okay? Thank you. Yeah. There's a question here, you can pass on the mic till then. Yes. Okay, yeah, please.
Hello. So, मुझे ये question पूछना था कि गीता का third chapter श्लोक number 36 से 42 लेके भगवान ने इंद्रियाणी पे बोला इंद्रियाणी मनोबुद्धि टू इंद्रियाणी परामी आओ तो भगवान ने mind पे बोला तो वो क्या बोला है दूसरा question मेरा ये है कि हमें
एक question one question at time okay
दूसरा question ये है कि मतलब इस्कॉन और मॉम डैड को छोड़ के हमारे लिए वो कृष्णा है पर जो बाहर के वर्ल्ड है मतलब बाहर की दुनिया उसमें हम लोगों को कैसे मालूम पड़ा कि हमारे लिए कृष्णा कौन है और शकुनी कौन है हम लोग उस पर भी बिलीव कर डालते हैं कि ये हमारे लिए अच्छा सोचता है अच्छा करता है फिर हम लोग को बाद में मालूम पड़ता है ये तो शकुनी निकला
ओके सो इन लेट्स टेक द सेकंड क्वेश्चन फर्स्ट So when do we understand whether somebody who is advising us is like Krishna advising Arjuna or they are like Shakuni advising Duryodhan? Well, first of all, what is in our control is whether we are Arjuna or whether we are Duryodhana. That basically means whether what is our desire. Some people want a guru to show the way. And some people want a guru to ratify their way. This is what I want to do, what you are doing is right. So, it was not that Shakuni made Duryodhana a bad person. Even before Shakuni came in his life, Duryodhana had conspired to try to poison Bhima, giving him a poison cake and to drown and kill him. So, Shakuni only gave him more ways in which to act deviously. Arjun was overall dharmic. But at that particular point in the Bhagavad Gita, he just got confused. What should I do right now? Which dharma to follow? Kula dharma or kshatriya dharma? So, first of all, if we try to keep our intention clear, that I want to do the best in this situation, not just best for me alone, but best for me as well as others. Then, if we try to cultivate that, I talk about these three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. Sattva means that let us all share equally.
Rajas means let us all share, but I want the biggest share. Tamas means I want everything. So, Duryodhan was like that. He was not ready to give even. Krishna said, give five villages. And he said, I will not give even the land enough to put a tip of a needle through. So then, we can first of all control our disposition. Look, introspect to check our desires. So if we try to bring ourselves to sattva, then we will get inner clarity. And life doesn't come with a guarantee of right choices. Sometimes we make the right decisions and sometimes we make the decisions right. That means, okay, I realize that was not the right decision. Now let me do course correction. When, if we take a plane, say I'm from New York to Mumbai over here. So then 90% of the time of a flight, a plane is off course. But what gets the plane to the destination is the pilot keeps reorienting. Because of its momentum, because of the velocity, the plane goes off course. But then the momentum, but the reorientation gets it back on course. So we don't have to consider that we are stuck with somebody like Shakuni or we are surely having somebody like Krishna with us. What we focus on is take life one step at a time. And if we see that a particular advice, counsel is helping us go towards the right direction, do something good in our life, then we move forwards. Broadly, the Mahabharata says right and wrong decisions can be decided by three factors. Intent, content and consequence. What is right, what is wrong? How do I decide that? It's not just categorical, it's also contextual. Category means this is right, this is wrong. That is true. But that is not the only criteria. Sometimes you have to look at the intent. So what is the advice somebody is giving? If somebody is telling me, go and rob a bank. Well, obviously that is wrong. So we can look at the content. Then we can look at the intent. That person's intent as much as we can understand, or at least our own intent. What am I seeking this person's advice for? And then we look at the consequence. And we can't know the consequence in advance. But once we learn, then we can do course correction if it's required. So, if we connect ourselves with Krishna internally through the practice of bhakti, then Krishna is our inner guide. And in the light of that inner guide, in the light that we get from Krishna, we'll get the clarity to check who is guiding us and who is misguiding us. Okay? Thank you. Now, as far as the second question about the senses and the mind, Krishna basically says in the Bhagavad Gita that senses, mind and intelligence, all of them, illusion is present over there. But in the intelligence, we can also get spiritual knowledge. And then with the spiritual knowledge, we can counter the illusion using the intelligence from the mind and the senses. So like if we consider the disputed territory like Pakistan, like Kashmir. In Kashmir, there are some parts of some people who want to be with India, some people who are against India. So our intelligence is like that conflicted territory. Some part of the intelligence is an illusion and it is working against us. Some part of the intelligence is with Krishna, is thinking of the right thing, is illuminated and is working toward the right thing. So what does the Indian government have to do? It has to empower that part of Kashmir which is working with us. And has to disempower that which is working against. So similarly, Krishna says that when we connect ourselves with scripture, we empower our higher intelligence. And then the influence of the mind and senses, we can overcome them. Thank you. Yes? Yes. You can just speak, I'll repeat. Yeah.
Prabhuji, main Hindi mein puchunga, meri English utni achhi nahi hai.
No problem, yes. Perfectly fine.
और मेरा जो प्रश्न है वो दो सेंटेंसों को मिलके एक क्वेश्चन बनता है. पहला मैं पूछ रहा हूं, कोई भी प्रश्न पूछा जाता है उसके पीछे कारण होता है और उत्तर मिल जाता है तो कोई भी व्यक्ति हो खुश हो जाता है. तो मुझे एक ऐसा उत्तर चाहिए कि कितना भी प्रश्न हो उसका उत्तर एक हो. मेरा प्रश्न ही यही है, कितना भी कोई प्रश्न करे और मुझे अंदर से ऐसा लगता है कि आप बताएंगे उसका एक ही उत्तर हो.
सो इज दिस ये पहला सवाल है, दूसरा सवाल है, आप बोले दो.
ये पहला सवाल है.
दूसरा क्या है?
ये मेरा पहला सवाल है, कोई कितना भी प्रश्न पूछे, किसी भी तरीके से पूछे, पूछेगा तो बुद्धि के ही स्तर से, हृदय में तो भगवान है, तो क्यों ना ऐसा ही एक उत्तर हो कि वो सबके लिए हो, कितना भी प्रश्न हो। ये मेरी प्रार्थना है, मुझे विश्वास भी है कि आपसे मुझे उत्तर मिल जाएगा।
ओके,
ये मेरा पहला सेंटेंस।
ओके, सो
और
ओके, सो सेकंड यू वांट टू आस्क राइट नाउ?
यस, दूसरा सेंटेंस ये है, अभी आपका मेरे ख्याल से लेक्चर ही बोलते हैं, अभी आप जो लेक्चर हो रहा था,
बोलिए।
तो मैं एंट्री कर रहा था तो मेरे मामा जी, ये मेरे मामा हैं, ये कह रहे हैं चलो चलो इंग्लिश में हो रहा है। तो मैंने कहा मुझे 64 भाषाएं आती हैं, अपने मामा से बोला, ऐसे ही मैंने भाव से बोला कॉमेडी के तौर पे, कि मुझे तो सारी भाषाओं का ज्ञान है, मुझे नहीं आता है 64 भाषाएं, लेकिन मैंने उनको बोला मुझे हिंदी आती है बहुत अच्छी, बट चाहे इंग्लिश बोली जाए, चाहे अंग्रेजी बोली जाए, चाहे गुजराती बोली जाए, चाहे मराठी बोली जाए, उन बोली के पीछे तो एक ऐसी चीज है जो प्रेम है। प्रेम के लिए कोई भाषा की जरूरत नहीं होती। मेरा कहने का मतलब ये सही है या गलत है, बस इस पे आपका मुझे उत्तर चाहिए।
सो इज देयर एनी वन क्वेश्चन दैट कैन, वन आंसर दैट कैन एड्रेस ऑल क्वेश्चंस दैट मे कम अप? यस, Ultimately, all of us have Krishna as the guide within us. हम सबको कृष्ण ये मार्गदर्शक है हमारे हृदय में, और अगर हम कृष्ण से संपर्क जोड़ लेते हैं तो फिर जो भी सवालों का जिस हद तक हमें जवाब मिल सकता है, समझ सकता है, वो हमें मिल जाएगा। तो भगवद्गीता में भगवान बताते हैं कि तेषां सतत युक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धि योगं तं येन माम उपयान्ति ते। तो अगर हम भक्तिमय भाव से भगवान से संपर्क जोड़ लेते हैं और फिर उस भक्ति भाव से हम बुद्धि का इस्तेमाल करते हैं जिस हद तक हो सकते हैं, तो फिर भगवान हमें बुद्धि देंगे। तो सब सवालों का जवाब अंतर्गत में भगवान में ही है, और अगर हम भगवान की भक्ति से संबंध जोड़ लेते हैं तो भगवान हमें जवाब देते हैं। और जहां तक दूसरा सवाल है, जो प्रेम की भाषा है वह सबसे महत्वपूर्ण है, और कुछ कुछ लोग हैं जो हृदय से हृदय का संबंध होता है, कुछ लोगों का हृदय का द्वार सिर्फ बुद्धि से निकलता है, तो फिर कुछ लोगों को बौद्धिक स्तर पर जब तक कोई समझ में नहीं आता है तो हृदय नहीं खोलेंगे वो। तो इसलिए हर एक व्यक्ति के लिए अलग अलग पद्धति है। तो अगर हम भाषा नहीं समझते हैं, भक्ति भाव है, तो उससे भी शुद्धिकरण होता है, पर अगर बौद्धिक स्तर पर किसी को बुद्धि की बहुत जरूरत है तो भाषा भी समझना अच्छा है, उससे हम बुद्धि से भी भगवान की सेवा कर सकते हैं। थैंक यू। हरे कृष्णा, हरे कृष्णा। कैन वी जस्ट कम बैक टू यू 1 मिनट, देन अदर क्वेश्चंस? यस प्लीज।
हरे कृष्णा, प्रभुजी, यू आर अ ब्रह्मचारी, सो आई कैन डायरेक्ट टू आस्क यू दिस क्वेश्चन। In the Chaitan Charitamrita, there is this incident of Lord Chaitanya rejecting Chota Haridas because Chota Haridas glanced lustfully or whatever, I don't know, I can't recall the exact thing, but he looked at a woman and then Lord Chaitanya rejected him because in the renounced order of life he looked at a woman lustfully or whatever. And later on even devotees insisted Lord Chaitanya to please accept him. But Lord Chaitanya was adamant and he didn't accept him. We know Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation, and later on Chota Haridas went on to commit suicide, and after that he went on to become a Gandharva, singing for Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. So Prabhuji, somehow I am also faced with similar challenges in my life, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to communicate.
Yeah.
What to do if Krishna himself, I'm looking again and again towards Krishna, praying, chanting, etc. But if that source itself is blocked, the supreme source, is it possible in the case of Chota Haridas trouble?
Yeah, I got the question. So Lord Chaitanya was extremely sick with Chota Haridas, So if we also succumb to some indiscretions because of our desires, what can we do? whenever the scripture teaches, it often teaches through extremes. And the extremes are not meant to be the standard. The extremes are meant to illustrate the principle. So, for example, we have, take the other extreme of, in the sixth canto, there's the story of Ajamil. Ajamil, because of getting infatuated with a society woman, he just did terrible things. And then at the end of his life, he just chanted Narayan once, and he was saved. So now, is it that that is the trajectory that everybody should follow? That everybody can do all kinds of wrong activities throughout their life, and when they are about to die, they take a gun, put it on their head, Hare Krishna! And they'll be delivered? No. Just as there, if you see the Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, both in the purport, what they say is that if even one chanting of the name of Narayan can deliver Ajamil, then if we chant lifelong, if we chant intentionally trying to address Krishna, surely we will be delivered. So there are extreme examples of the positive mercy, and there are extreme examples of the negative strictness. But what is followed by most people is the standard. And what we should be inspired is to follow the standard. So, with respect to Haridas Thakur's, Chota Haridas incident, there are three points to consider. First is that Lord Chaitanya was acting to set an example at that particular time, because Sahajiyaism had become very common at that time. Now, what is Sahajiyaism? Sahajiyaism is the idea that that God can be attained through cheap emotion and sensuality. So there was this perverted idea that when people engage in sensual activities, so some people got this idea that if a man and woman are engaging in sensuality, then Krishna will enter into the man, Radha will enter into the woman, and it is Krishna and Radha who are enjoying through them. And this had no scriptural basis. So there was already the indication that this kind of deviance would come in. So in that context, Lord Chaitanya was super strict. So we have to understand the historical context. Secondly, Lord Chaitanya's associates are also his, the associates are his pure devotees. It's not that they are acting against his will. So the same Lord who was strict personally, directly, was concerned and compassionate through his associates. And thirdly, what happened to Chota Haridas was, he became elevated. If Lord Chaitanya had rejected him, if he had ended his life in ordinary suicide, then that would have made him a ghostly being who would not be spiritually conscious. But he became spiritually conscious. He was singing the holy names for Lord Chaitanya's pleasure. And Lord Chaitanya accepted that. So that is an extreme example to illustrate the gravity of the offense. But at the same time, there are contextual factors to be considered in broad historical context, the actions of Lord Chaitanya's associates, and the eventual result of that action. So for us, when we are practicing bhakti, we have to understand that we all have desires. And we can't wish away the desires. I was speaking at a mental health care center in America to mental health care providers, because they also get depressed. So we were discussing, when does a person need mental health care? All of us have lower desires. Say, everybody gets angry. But when some people get angry, they might just grunt and just speak disagreeably. Speak in incoherent grunt. Some people may just give the others the silent treatment. I won't speak with you at all. Like small children, if they quarrel, katti. So like that, adult version might also be there. Some people, they may just get angry and blast out verbal volleys after volleys. Some people may take things and start throwing at others. Some people may take a knife and try to attack the other. Some people may take a gun and shoot others. So now all of this is an expression of anger. But when the expression of anger starts hurting others directly, that is when that person is said to have
anger issues. And that person may need to be restricted, put in a mental health care center. So similarly, when, with respect to lust or whatever else, when we all have desires, and when those desires start making us doing adharmic, make us do adharmic activity that hurt others, that is when it is destructive. That is when it is extremely dangerous. Within the limits of dharma, within the limits of decency, within the limits of where we are not hurting others, of course we could say any indulgence is hurting us. That is okay, but there are degrees. So then if it's at a smaller degree, gradually through the practice of bhakti, it will become purified. So we don't have to go into extremes, reactions, when the actions that we are being impelled to are not extreme or destructive to others. And as far as purification is concerned, purification happens gradually. I talk of this in three terms, that if say the floor is inclined this way, and as soon as water falls on it, water will flow in that direction. If I have some electronic equipment there, I don't want water to go over there, just willpower is not enough. Oh, water, don't go there. No. We'll have to do three things. Restriction. Build some kind of partition, some wall, some band over there, by which the water doesn't go over there. Then there is redirection. Push the water in the other direction. Third is reconstruction. Change the alignment of the floor so that the floor is inclined in this way. And the water will naturally flow in this direction. So similarly, for us, based on our past conditionings, our consciousness has become inclined in a particular way. So as soon as we see a sense object, our desires start flowing in a particular direction. So that's how we are right now. So what do? Restriction. So if you find out that there's a particular weakness that we have, then try to restrict access to that in some way. I was speaking in Google just 2.5 months ago. So in Google they had done an experiment where they're finding that a lot of people were becoming obese, and that was affecting their performance also. So they decided, based on the advice of psychologists, that all the desserts that were there, toffees, chocolates, everything else was there, they decided in their cafeteria to put it all in non-transparent containers. Keep it there in the shop, but none of it is visible. And just by that, almost 30% of the consumption of desserts decreased. And people's health improved over there. So restriction, it's not the ultimate solution, but it's a beginning solution. Out of sight helps it to get out of the mind. Then redirection means that just as we can't just push water with our hands. If we have some pipe, if we have some brush, if we have some device where you can push the water up, it helps. So we have to find out something which we like to do and something which is higher and uplifting. So when our desire starts going in an unwanted direction, we look in that direction. So if somebody likes music, then have some spiritual, some kirtan. Not just general practice of bhakti, something which we can easily do. So if this is the circle of things which we like to do, this is the circle of uplifting activities of bhakti. Find out the intersection of the two. And keep that readily accessible. Some of us may like philosophy. So then, just if you like to hear classes of a particular speaker, then keep those classes. If you have heard some striking points, keep those points accessibly available on your phone or something like that. If you like to have darshan of the deities, keep your favorite darshans on the phone. So then, when we focus our attention on that, that becomes like the tool with which we can do redirection. The water of our consciousness is moving in a particular direction, we push it in another direction. And lastly is reconstruction. If we bring Krishna into our consciousness, Krishna will gradually purify us. When we have been purified, purification means that our consciousness will naturally become inclined towards Krishna. In the first 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about nirasakta, become detached. But in 7.1, Krishna says, Mai asakta manaha, become attached to me. So when you become attached to Krishna, then naturally our consciousness flows towards him and we move forwards positively. So by restriction, redirection, reconstruction, we can overcome the conditioning that may be troubling us now. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Sai Gaura Premanande.
So let us express our heartfelt gratitude to His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu for sharing his wonderful insights by loudly chanting Haribol, 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 Ha Prabhuji will be available downstairs if anyone has any more questions. And all of you can now move for prasad. Niche rahenge Prabhuji, niche prasad kar sakte.